Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
Sometimes listeners want to know about triggers.
I'm dealing with the aftermath of my husband's affairs, and he still works the same job that he did when he was acting out. It's a job that allows him to hide his goings-on and one that he stated was a previous trigger for his acting out. The whole 16 and a half years we've been together, he's acted out. In the beginning, what I thought it was just pornography. It ended up being, I found out 2.5 years ago, he had been with multiple prostitutes. I only found out a very small portion of that until about a month ago. How do you cope with all of that when you still have to deal with unavoidable triggers?
Well, of course you would feel traumatized by hearing all that information. And I gotta tell you, Stephanie, that's a staggered disclosure. That's finding out little bits and pieces about your husband's behavior throughout a time period, making you feel insecure, unsure, and unsafe. So what we got to do is set up a situation whereby you get with a specialist to do a formal disclosure so you can hear everything at one time in a safe environment.
Yeah. And you know, you hear what we got to do, but I'm telling you, we at AppSats want to be there with you and support you so that you get the best care. Now, the truth of the matter is that we at AppSats also want men with problematic compulsive sexual behavior to get the best care too. We don't pretend to be sexual addiction experts, but we do have resources available to them. Now, that being said, I have to tell you that many of us, many of the clinical certified clinical partner specialists do have our certification. We can work with addicts. That's why we can do couples work with you, as well as we can do individual work or make referrals for him. So a really good package, and we want you to have the best services ever when it comes to the trauma that you're experiencing. You know, they say in this business, don't make assumptions. And I really agree with that, but there are some assumptions that I can make. This isn't an AppSats thing. This is a Carol the Coach thing. And one of my assumption is that this has created great anxiety for the partner and the addict alike. I have never met an addict who was not anxious about the harm he caused his wife. Now, actually, the interesting thing is for female sex addicts, they seem to have a tougher exterior and don't want to show their anxiety. In almost every case I've ever worked with that had to do with female sex addicts, there has been horrible sexual abuse in their past. And so I suspect they learned those skills early. They learned early not to show anxiety, not to show remorse, not to show fear. And so that may be why I've never seen them. But most of you that are listening are dealing with male sex addicts. And there may even be some sex addicts in recovery that are listening to this show too, just to understand his wife better. I would love to know that. If you are a sex addict in recovery who is listening to this show because you want to understand your wife, would you email me at Carol@carolthecoach.com? And I'm telling you why. Because when I started another podcast, oh gosh, 13 years ago maybe, my demographics after 1 year were more women than men. And that's when I realized that women listened to the show to understand their husbands that had these kind of problems. And what I know from my own caseload is that the men want to help their wives heal. They just don't know how. Now, I know there's some narcissistic sex addicts that probably have no desire to really help her heal. They want her to get over it. Well, that is a common feeling too, but the get over it occurs for most sex addicts after time has gone on and they don't think that they're seeing that their partner is getting any better, or it's when they don't understand the brain science behind trauma. They don't know that it's going to last 3 to 5 years. You all know I've made it my mission to do a lot of post-traumatic growth work to help partners feel better about themselves. And that's why I was really excited about today's show, because I am going to be talking to a woman who is writing a book on forgiveness. And I got to tell you, she also does these experiential hiking tours all over the world. But especially in places like the Grand Canyon, where she believes these experiences can strengthen a partner's resiliency and help her look at life from perhaps a different perspective. She just did a TED Talk on forgiveness, and it was just amazing. And the fact that she wants to write a book on forgiveness, I'm going to have to share with her today that I am in the process of writing a book on forgiveness too. So I can't wait to hear her take on it, because one thing we know, and we teach it at APSAP, you don't ever have to forgive anybody who's betrayed you. You don't. Forgiveness is a personal issue. I've had women that said, I will never forgive him for what he did to me. Never. And then 12, 18, 24 months down the road, they're working on the process of forgiveness. It became an organic thing that they decided to do. And more often than not, it's because they want it for themselves. They're tired of the negativity that lies inside of them due to all that residual anger of being betrayed. So we're not saying anybody has to forgive, but oftentimes a very common question from partners is, how do I forgive? How do I start this process? Help me with this. And that's why we at APSAP, and by the way, Sarah Schulting-Kranz is an APSAP coach. We at APSATS really want to help you with the hard stuff that other counselors probably don't know what to do with. They don't get sexual addiction. They don't get partner betrayal. And they certainly don't know how to work into post-traumatic growth or help you through forgiveness or help create boundaries. And so that's what I think is really special about us. And I want you to think of this show as a show for you, a show that's available to you to help you with any situation you're in. If you have a specific concern, email me at carol@carolthecoach.com. You are having difficulty getting over something and you want to use the first 15 minutes of the show to talk with me about that, anonymously, more than likely, let's do it. I can be your own personal psychotherapist and life coach and help you with your issues. Just reach out. You know, my second most popular coaching principle I know so many of you have heard the show. You know what it is. It is go in for the big ask. That is super important that you go in for the big ask, because when you're needing something, it's important for you to let others know what your needs are. And I've already told you, you can email me or you can call the show. You just have to let me know ahead of time. You have to email me and say, I would really like to talk with you. Here's what I want to talk about. And then I'll give you a specialized number so you can call in. It's really healthy for you not only to want, but to ask for it. I know that so oftentimes when I talk to partners, they freak out because they are mad. They're mad that they have to do all this work. They're mad that they even have to think about being betrayed. They're mad that they have these needs. And I understand that. I so understand that. Because truly, they shouldn't have had to go through this. This was not their cross to bear, but it became their cross to bear. Now, I just thought I'd spend a little bit of time talking about what is problematic sexual behavior. There's these criteria, and I want to talk to you about that. It's written by a man by the name of Bill Herring, and he titled it A Framework for Categorizing Chronically Problematic Sexual Behavior. And he says, you know, there are 5 separate categories of what can generically be determined problematic sexual behavior. And the categories are, a man has problematic sexual behavior. He's a sex addict if he has sexual behavior that conflicts with a person's commitments. You know, one of the things we 100% know to be true is that when an addict is acting out, they lose all sense of time. There is time distortion. If the sexual behavior conflicts with the person's values, I oftentimes hear, Carol, this is not who I am. This is not who I ever thought I would be, and I can't believe I'm this monster. The sexual behavior conflicts with a person's self-control. One of the things that we absolutely know is that an addict does not have control over their sexually compulsive behavior. They've tried to stop. They promised to stop. They promised themselves to stop. And they've not been able to stop. So it affects their own self-control. The sexual behavior consistently results in negative consequences. You know, it interferes with their health. They get STDs. They get infections. It takes time away from work. They're not as productive. They make poor choices with their family. They're not as engaged. They're not as connected. They may not be able to have sex because of their own problematic sexual behavior. And then the other category is sexual behavior that does not protect others from harm. You know, inherently, when we become a family, it's a man's duty to protect his wife, and it's a wife's duty to protect and care for her husband. And I always say it's absolutely a mother and father's duty to protect their children. And when I talk to men who have said to me, Carol, my 14-year-old daughter walked in on me and saw me masturbating to pornography, he feels horrible about that. And not only has he not protected his daughter, he has driven into her an image that she'll never, ever be able to remove. That is a heavy burden for anybody, for the daughter and the father. And those kinds of issues naturally happen when you have out-of-control, compulsive, problematic sexual behavior. Because with this addiction, it gets worse and worse and worse. Now, if you want to see a fascinating video, put in Carol the Coach, The Gifts of a Recovering Sex Addict. I'll give you the 10 categories that make up being a sex addict. And I talk about the 10 different types of sexual addiction. So it's educational. It's our own Indianapolis TED Talk. It's called Sparks. And I had 10 minutes to give this presentation. I was the keynote. And so you might look this up. And when we get Sarah on the phone, she's going to have to give you the YouTube address for her TED Talk, because I'm telling you, it was enlightening, it was inspiring, it was so thought-provoking, and all of us were really, really moved by it. And I contacted her and I said, you have got to come on the show and you have got to talk about this TED Talk, because as I indicated earlier, we don't necessarily expect partners to have to forgive. But if they want to forgive, Sarah talks about how she forgave. And Sarah, I want to welcome you to Betrayal Recovery Radio. How are you?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm doing great. It's rainy in California and just, you
okay.
know, plugging along, doing my thing. But it's great. I'm happy. I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And you thrive. You do more than survive. You thrive by being outdoors. And that's so much of the work that you do. And I know I had you on my other podcast talking about the different wilderness, experiences that you take
yes.
people on. And typically a lot yes. of women. Yeah.
Yeah, so, there are men and women, but primarily women, correct.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your story, and as you heard me indicate, I want you to tell our listening audience how they can see your inspiring TED Talk on forgiveness.
So, would you like to know, like, how I got into this? Should we start there?
Absolutely.
Like, my backstory? Perfect. So, you guys all have an idea of who I am. So, I am I'm in recovery from an awful lot of trauma in my life. At 17, I was raped and went through a very devastating experience through that and ended up having a child out of that out of that experience, who is amazing and just the best kid ever. I love him to death. He's so amazing. And then I had to do a lot of my forgiveness journey started back then. What I didn't know was that my forgiveness journey started back then. I didn't really quite understand the process of what I was going through, only that it was working. I grew up in a very small town in Black Earth, Wisconsin, and, you know, farming community, so I spent a lot of time outdoors. I had parents who supported me, even through the fact that most of the community, a lot of the community, just didn't understand what was happening. So this was back in 1990, and my son was born in 1991, the same year that I graduated from high school. And then through the process of that, I went to college after that, got my degree in education, became a teacher, met my husband. Fast forward at the age of 40, I'm now 46. At the age of 40, I found out that my marriage, I was married for 17 years when I found out that he had been betraying me with men for 14 of them. So, of course, I experienced a lot of PTSD. My trauma from my past came full circle right back up to where, you know, for me to have to look at it again. And there was a lot of betrayal trauma, relationship trauma, just a lot that had happened during that time in my life, especially that very first year. My ex-husband now he's my ex-husband, had also been dealing with his own addictions, literally like leading a double life. So he was addictions in drugs, alcohol, sex addiction, and leading a gay underground lifestyle when he wasn't at my house. He was doing this we lived in California, and he was doing most of this in New York. So I ended up going, not only did my trauma come back from when I was 17, but I ended up going back to that time and using what I learned at 17 to get me through what I was going through at 40. And I would go back to nature. That was my safe space. I would grab my paddleboard and I would paddle 4 miles offshore with whales and dolphins. I did a lot of hiking. I did a lot of running. I did a lot of somatic healing. I didn't quite understand how my healing process was working, but it was working exponentially faster, I guess you could say, at a different level than what most people who I have was those people that were in my support group, but then also people that I knew that were also experiencing similar situations. So I ended up having one person, Dorit Reichenthal, who mentioned to me, you know, there's something here that you're experiencing that can be looked at, and you can utilize this in a way to help other people. So I went back and I got my certification as a coach. So I'm a professionally certified coach. And then I also got my Wilderness First Responder certification and just really followed my heart. I followed my passion and I realized that what I wanted to do was to bring nature therapy into other people's toolbox, I guess, if you will. And I wanted to use nature therapy as a way to have people get out of their comfort zone in a different kind of way, because nature, for a lot of people, it's like, wait, what is this? You know, and it's a different kind of therapy, I guess you could say. And so I ended up starting these retreats in the Grand Canyon, because the Grand Canyon was a really big healing space for me through my own recovery. And today I guide men and women, some only women retreats, some male, female, down into the Grand Canyon. And we do everything from meditation, mindfulness, breath, deep breath, just the most amazing breath work. We do a lot of coaching. I guide them through everything from, you know, what is your intention, to boundary setting, to relationships, and really diving deep into who they are and getting back to the core of who they are. And they're transformational. I've seen, it's not only for, you know, these are for anybody, because like we've all been through stuff and we all have things that are also, can be looked at in our life. And so I have had, I mean, people from brain surgeons to, you know, moms to just across the board, various people who have come and experienced these, and they've just been amazing. And one of the topics that we cover is forgiveness, because it is also a topic that we tend to push under the rug in society because of how we've been taught that forgiveness needs to be looked at. And my whole premise and how I coach is that, you know, forgiveness is for everybody, forgiveness for self, forgiveness for others, and it truly is the path to ultimate freedom and peace. So that is me in a nutshell. I'm also writing a book. I've done a TED Talk on my book will be released November 10th from HarperCollins. Harper Horizon, it's a new division of HarperCollins, so they're actually publishing my book. And I did a TED Talk last November that was just so much fun. It was so much fun to be on stage and to share. And my definition and how I view forgiveness and how it's actually been a platform for me to help others. And we're doing a documentary.
Please,
I'm doing a few things.
You sure are. And I want you to help our listening audience understand forgiveness from your perspective. So what is the definition of forgiveness? And then how did you apply it to your life?
So, you know, it's really interesting. When I was asked to do this TED Talk, I didn't even know what my TED Talk was going to be on. You know, they said we were looking at everything from, you know, nature therapy to healing to what nature therapy does for us. There were all different kinds of things that we were looking at. And then once the person who was helping me really like peel back the onion into, Sarah, like, what's the core piece to all of this? We looked up the definition for forgiveness in the dictionary, and the definition of the dictionary in the dictionary is to pardon and to learn to forgive and forget. And when we looked it up, I gasped, and I was like, that's it. That right there is it. Because I have never once, even in all the years that I've gone through my forgiveness journey, thought it was necessary to forget what happened, because I'm not going to condone what happened. I'm not going to say, yeah, what you did is okay. In my definition of forgiveness and how I forgive, it's about handing back the pain to the person that hurt me the most, and also then allowing myself to live in freedom and peace. So it's about not holding on to the things that are handed to us. Obviously, we have to process through the emotions, the anger, the resentment, the betrayal, you know, the deep rage, because I had deep, deep rage that I had to work through before I could even say to this person, before I could go through the process to actually confront the people that hurt me, including my ex-husband. I had to work through those emotions before I could finally say, okay, now I'm ready to let this go. Because I find that in my life, I want what's best for me. I don't want to live in toxicity. We all know that trauma also is stored in our cells. Trauma is stored in our body. And there's so much research right now, even being on the fact that neuroscience research on the fact that we have three brains in our body, the brain, the heart, the gut, and how they all work together. And I don't want to live like that. I just don't want to live in the space of anger and the space of sadness and the space of, you know, the things, the low vibe emotions, I call them. I want to live in joy and peace and happiness. And plus, I have three boys. I mean, you know, they also, in my life, I want them to see the best version of me.
Well, I totally understand that. And so what I heard you saying, I believe the key point is forgiveness is the process of knowing when you're ready to let go of the toxicity that sits inside of you because of the betrayal. And when you
Correct.
Let that go and you've done the work, I mean, obviously, I'm always telling my clients, you know, you may be angry and you may not be ready to forgive, and that's absolutely okay. But I want you to start bringing back joy, happiness, health, gratitude into your
mm-hmm.
life to balance all that betrayal. And when they do, it helps them to process the betrayal in and of itself. Do you find that to
yeah.
be true?
1,000%. 1,000%. Now, the reason that I am so passionate about nature as well is because we know that meditation in itself, okay, and I'm gonna kind of like go into a little bit of a tangent here that helps people to understand how to get to this place. Meditation in and of itself is extremely helpful. You know, we especially for those people that are traumatized, we need safety, and we're so many times we're in our head. It's just like, I know for me anyhow, my trauma was my head just could not, I could not, well, I'm a generator anyhow, and so, but my head could not calm down. The thoughts that I couldn't sleep at night, the thoughts, the recurring thoughts of how could he, what happened, how did I not see this, like all the stories that just, the recurring thoughts that just kept ruminating. And so meditating in and of itself was helpful because the frontal lobe of our brain can then slow, and the back part of our brain, which the cerebellum, which actually has peace and clarity, that's where we find all of our clarity in life, that is given space to actually rise. Well, what they've now found is that the same thing happens in nature. So if you're in nature, you even just a week in nature can reduce your PTSD symptoms by 29%. And so 5 minutes a day will start to calm your brain. So that's why I'm so passionate about not doing the work. I mean, of course, like we got to do the work in four walls at times, but also taking the work outside and grounding ourselves and understanding that we do have safety. We have safety in the outdoors, and allowing ourselves to experience and visualize and get a different perspective on what living even is. So for me, allowing myself to process all of those emotions while also bringing in the joy of the outdoors was extremely helpful because it got me out of my place, that stuck place of ruminating in my own head, right? Like that's also my being out, you know, on the ocean or in the Grand Canyon or on a trail or wherever it is. Like that's also what I call the real world. And so, you know, going back there and allowing people to experience the meditating in nature, it's like it almost like amps it up, and it provides more clarity into how you really want to live your life and bring in the joy and the peace and the happiness.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And it's like you are a natural at being able to figure out what it is you need. And, you know, you talked about the three types of brains, the brain, the heart brain, and the gut brain, and how they all interwork together. I'm a big believer of the fact that if women really pay attention to what their head says, their intellect, their heart says, their emotions, and their gut, what they intuitively know, they'll be able to move forward. And so for our listeners right now, they may be saying to themselves, wow, I really need to get away. And for partners, it can be tough to get away because they've been so traumatized, they can't imagine venturing out. Or the secret, the truth of it is, they may not want to leave their husbands for fear that he will act out. So what do you tell partners who have an itch to get out and to experience life and maybe take a trip? How do you help them reckon with the anxiety of what will happen if I leave? What will happen if I go? What will happen if I take care of myself?
So it's funny you're bringing this up because I literally just wrote about this in this section of my book. It's about the being and the doing, right, and how we live in a being state and we live in a doing state. And in society, we're constantly in the doing state, which typically is so many times is also driven by fear. So I know for my own self, I was in that space. I didn't want to leave. I was worried about what was going to happen. I was worried about, well, you know, what if he all of a sudden relapses or whatever it was. But really, that wasn't my responsibility. And getting to that space, I learned this when I was actually on the water one day. I had this realization of, it's not my responsibility to do his work. It's my responsibility to take care of me. And the biggest thing that I can do in taking care of me is saying yes to me and what my needs are, and also stepping into my own self-care. Because here's the thing. When we step into our own self-care, it gives them permission to also step into theirs. And we can't regulate how that's going to happen for them. We know that. Like, hopefully they choose the path that's the correct path, that's the healthy path for them. But we also can't do the work for them. We can do the work for ourselves, and we can step into that space of what's best for me. And I always tell every single one of my clients, and I've had plenty of partners on my retreat. In fact, I'm running one the end of April. There's six women from literally all over the world coming, including Dublin. And so, and most of them, actually half of them are partners. That's interesting. We talk about that. Like, the most important thing that we can do is to say yes. And when I'm on a call with them and talking to them about this, because I always do calls with people on Zoom prior to them coming just so that we get to know one another. And I always say, like, imagine what's going to happen when you say yes to you. Imagine what happens when you can put out there, when you can say, yes, I am worthy of this. I'm worthy of putting myself first. I'm worthy of doing the things that make me happy. I'm worthy of my own joy. And every single time, I kid you not, Carol, I get text messages and emails back that say, I can't believe how much has shifted energetically within me when I simply said yes to me. If it's like all of a sudden, there, you know, business opportunities or life opportunities or whatever it is. So many times I get that where people say, just saying yes shifted when I needed it, like put it into action in a different way. Because I'm giving myself permission to do what I need to do for me. Now, that also goes into the second thing that I write about. We have two things, right? We have excitement and we have fear. A lot of times as women, we, especially as partners, I know for myself, I'm speaking from experience here as well, there are many times when I would misconstrue the two. And I would, the excitement piece of putting myself first, I would mistake for fear, or vice versa. And in reality, in life, we now know that there are only two fears that we're born with. That we're born with the fear of falling, and we're born with the fear of loud noises. And all the rest of the fears, we sometimes mistake for excitement. And so what I do with them is I sit them back and I say, okay, let's go through a little meditation here. Hand on the heart, because our heart space is where I want people to be working from. I talk a lot about dropping into your heart space. that's, you know, love and self-love and respect and just like all of the worthiness, like everything comes from that space. And I explained to them, drop in and then let's go through the process of what's best for you. And when we do that, like we actually confront fear, we confront excitement in smack dab in front of us. We look at them and it's always excitement. It's always excitement. It's like the excitement of what's possible, the excitement of not living in constriction, but living in abundance and possibilities. And it's pretty exciting. It's exciting watching people go through it.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, this is a show where we want our listening audience to get tips and tools that can shift them into another place. And you just shared one. And so I'm thinking to myself, obviously, that's your background as a coach. And will you let our listening audiences know what is a coach and how do you work with people?
What is a coach? Is that what you just asked me? Sorry, the raindrops
sure
just blew me out. It's raining really hard here.
Yeah, what is a coach?
So,
how do you coach people?
How do I coach people? So okay, let's back up really quick. What do I define as a coach? A coach is somebody, like, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm going to guide you through the tools, and I'm going to guide you to that space of what I see that is possible. Ultimately, all the steps need to be taken by you. So many coaches feel like they have to do the work for their clients, and that's just not me. I am somebody that holds people accountable, of course, and I'm an extremely loving coach. I freaking love my clients. In and of itself, love my clients. I have male clients and female clients. That said, I want what's best for them, and I know that the steps taken forward need to be coming from them. I also am very intuitive. So when I am on a trail with somebody, or even not, when I'm sitting, you know, in a call with somebody, I can feel their emotions. I'm also a very empathetic person, but I also literally can, like, I can feel people. It's interesting because when I was married, I saw all my red flags, and I trusted my husband when I had the conversation with him about certain things over my own intuition, my own gut. Now my gut always speaks and I always listen. So that includes with my clients. I've learned to tap in even deeper with my intuition than I ever thought that I could, which has been the biggest gift out of all of this. So when I'm on a trail with somebody, I literally can have this intuitive hit of, oh, this is what's going to be happening with them outside of the canyon. And every time it happens, if it's I quit my job, like I'll get phone calls later on, like I quit my job, and I'm like, okay, do you want to now know where this happened on the trail, where you had one of your aha moments, your clarity moments, or I call them peace moments, and I let them know. I'm like, it was at this space. And they're like, how did you know that? And I said, because I watch and I listen from every sense that I have. And so that's the type of coach I am. I love this work so deeply. And so I'm extremely passionate about guiding people, you know, through their lives and what they're going through. It's one of my biggest gifts that I ever could ever have imagined being, that I could have out of all of this. And it's fun.
Well,
I just love to have fun. Like, I love having fun, Carol. You know that about me too, right? Like, I love fun.
Yes, I do know. And let me tell you, for our listening audience that doesn't know Sarah, you've got to go see her TED Talk, and you can just put in her name and forgiveness, and it'll come right up. And then she is a coach. It's hard to know if she is a coach because of who she is or if who she is really just landed in coaching, because coaches do have an affinity for their clients. Sarah loves clients more than most. And coaches aren't supposed to tell you what to do. They're supposed to help you figure out how to figure it out yourself. And so
1,000%.
Sarah really believes in that. I mean, nobody could have told you, Sarah, what to do when you were going through your betrayal. And, you know, you knew what you needed to do when you needed to know. And you trusted your gut. And And you do have a real wise sense of self as a result. Now, tell our listening audience how they can get a hold of you if they want to work with you as a coach, or how they can sign up for your trips, which may be on a little bit of a hiatus.
No, not at all. We're not on a hiatus at all, actually. Well, so I've run retreats in the Grand Canyon during government shutdowns, during state of emergencies, and they're the best retreats. To be honest with you, we couldn't be in a safer space than going into the Grand Canyon where there isn't going to be anybody. So, no, as long as everybody shows up and their clean bill of health, I'm ready to roll. It's just a matter of getting those people here from, you know, those that are flying from out of state and out of the country. But my retreat is also, the retreat I'm running in April is not till the last weekend of April. So hopefully we'll be good by then. I do have another one in July. It's a two-night at the bottom, co-ed. As of right now, it's co-ed, unless it fills up as women. Then it's an all-women retreat. So far, that is actually, the April retreat's already, we're handing in reservations tomorrow. So if somebody's interested, please call me as soon as possible, because those and all of those reservations need to be in as soon as possible. And then we have the July retreat, which is already getting signed up for. We have one in December over Christmas, which is a huge gift because we never get holidays at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, so this is really exciting, and I know the people down there, and so anybody that just wants to completely reframe and redo their Christmas in any way, we're going to be spending 3 nights at the bottom, including Christmas Eve and Christmas night, which is such a gift. So 3 nights at the bottom on Christmas, and then we have one in January of 2021. My retreats, though, I just want to, like, let you know that we actually, through the retreats, we do 8 weeks of coaching as well. So it's not only, it's an entire program, and it's not just simply about the retreat, but it's about the support and the learning that you get over Zoom calls from over a course of 8 weeks. And you also get a one-on-one coaching session with me as well. So we get you going, and they're just really, they're amazing. But you can find everything on my website, sarahschultingcranz.com. It's S-A-R-A. SCHULTINGKRANZ.com. My TED Talk is actually right on my website as well. So if you want to go view my TED Talk on my website, go for it. There is also a freebie up there, which is 7 Simple Steps to Bring Joy into Your Life. I would suggest grabbing it because it's really good. And there is also the documentary snippet is in there as well. We are working on a documentary right now of my own healing journey, and it's really awesome. It's the producer of I Am Maris, which is a Netflix film. She's actually the producer and director of my film, and we filmed in the Grand Canyon over Thanksgiving. 10 women, somehow or another we got a permit, and we did it over Thanksgiving, which was amazing. And that was actually during the state of emergency. It was incredible. So everything is on my website. You can also follow me on Instagram and Facebook, all my name. I am accepting one-on-one clients right now. My book launches November 10th, like I said, out of Harper. So if anybody is around for that, it's called Walk Through This, Harness the Healing Power of Nature and Travel the Road to Forgiveness. And so it's really a powerful book that will guide you through nature therapy and forgiveness. It's fun. And the film should be out either this fall or a year from fall. We're in post-production right now. So
wow.
It's cool. Lots of fun stuff. I know. And
stuff.
Yeah.
And you've got it going on. I mean, wow.
Well, you know, I'm a single mom to 3 boys, and so my time is like, yes, I do have a lot happening. It's been crazy, but so much fun because, you know, again, I like having fun, so, but it's been a lot of fun. It's good. You know, I love watching people go through their journeys and being there to support them. So it's good.
Absolutely. So now I'm going to put you on the spot for 1 second, but in a good way.
Absolutely.
For our listening audience, if you were going to share a coaching principle that you live by and that you really encourage your clients to live by, what would it be?
So here's what pops, complete download right now. Simplicity. I think that the one thing that I find with people, especially my clients, is that they want to get back to simplicity in life, and the best way to do that is to find it on an everyday. So if it's through self-care, don't overanalyze, don't overcomplicate. Keep it simple. You know, when I'm talking about the 5 minutes in nature, literally take your shoes off, go outside, plop your feet in the sand, put your hands over your heart, and just breathe. It's just breathe. Our breath is what keeps us going. Keep it simple. And through that process, right, make it fun. Like, we look at our healing journey as having to be so, I don't know, just really hard. But in reality, keep it simple and just find those moments of fun and gratitude every day, because they are there, and that's, we're here not just to experience life, we're here to live it. And through that living is where we also heal, right? And so keep it simple. Just keep it simple. Did I lose you?
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
I was going to say, yes, that principle is used by drug and alcohol counselors all over the world and the 12-step program. And, you know, addiction and partner betrayal in and of itself is really complicated. And you and I both know that it causes trauma brain. And when you keep things simple, you're doing that thing I was talking about earlier, which is definitely your balancing the stress with the fact that simplicity can feel very, very safe. And that's what we want our partners to feel, is safe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I use that whole principle of just going outside and grounding yourself, because there's so much safety there. Like, I literally just lie on the grass when I'm feeling unsafe, which happens to me. I'm still that person, you know, where I just go and I lie on the grass and I just breathe. I put my hand over my stomach and I put my hand over my heart and I just breathe. And it's like, I am safe. I am safe. I am safe. I am loved. I am worthy. I matter.
Well, I just so thank you, Sarah, for coming on and reminding men and women alike that they can forgive if they make that choice, if they're ready, and they will know when they're ready.
You'll know.
If they listen to their gut and they quiet their minds and they keep it simple, it will happen.
Yep, and actually in my TED Talk, I go through the process of, like, my own process of forgiving. So if you want to actually hear how I did it, it gives a really good analogy, or it gives a really good definition of, or process of how I did it. And my book actually talks a lot. It's the 7 steps so it's really awesome. And it's going to be really fun to get out into the world so that we can view it in a different way. I want to change the definition in the dictionary. That's my ultimate goal, and that's what my TED Talk is about. So my marketing team and I will be starting that whole, you know, process. And when it comes up, I hope that you can plug it with your listeners and maybe they'll sign something so that we can get it done.
Okay, so you want to change the definition of forgiveness. And explain to us, what do you mean by that? What are you hoping you can change it from and then to?
So right now, Merriam-Webster's, the Webster Dictionary is defined as to cease to feel resentment against an offender, to pardon and learn to forgive and forget. So the definition that I am hoping to change it to, and again, like, look, I'm sure that it will probably shift, but we'll see, is to forgive is to acknowledge an offense and the consequences of that offense as truth, to choose to let go of negative feelings, and to cease to harbor animosity towards the offender. So you can see how it's not, it's a definition that allows victims to find the freedom and peace, and it doesn't put, it highlights the process of it and what is required on the part of the victim. So it's not a definition that makes us have to take everything that we live through and just push it under the rug and pardon what had happened, because that's not the point. We need to acknowledge it and honor it because it also is a part of our life, and it also has made us who we are today. So let's go through that process in a positive way and allow ourselves to learn from it, not say, it didn't happen, because it did. So,
well,
yeah.
Absolutely, and I had no idea that that definition included the word forget. I mean,
yeah,
that you would have to die to forget.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, and it's really interesting how many, when I was doing this TED Talk, when I was talking to people about it, like, well, what's your definition? And so many people that I talked to that were having a hard time forgiving, it's because in their mind, that's also what they were taught. You know, that's like, they were like, well, that's I have to forget, and I don't want to forget. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is a huge piece in society. This is what we need to look at, because, no, you shouldn't have to forget. And that's that forget term, that forgive and forget. I mean, how many times have we heard it? I heard it growing up. Just let it go. Just let it go. Come on. Like, when are you going to forget that happened? When are you going to let it go? And it bugged me because I was like, listen, I'm not going to forget or let go the fact that I was wronged at 17 in many, many ways. What I will do, however, is honor it, learn from it, and then move through it and hand back those pieces that I don't want to hang on to. But I will never forget that it happened, because it did. And he needs to be held responsible as well. Like, through my own process, it was handing him responsibility. And the same thing when I was 40. I love forgiveness.
Well,
I think it's just such a beautiful thing.
Well, and you can hear it in your voice, and you can feel it. And I do believe, like you, that it is a beautiful thing, and I do believe it's a process. And one of the things that I clearly hear you doing that has made that possible is that you've reframed what has happened to you from the rape all the way to the partner betrayal. And you've done that by basically taking all that pain and turning it into strength and resiliency, finding purpose and passion. And, you know, it's kind of like you said to yourself, how am I stronger? What have I had to learn from it? And then...
Yeah.
You're a coach on steroids. You're making it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. I really appreciate that acknowledgement. Yeah. It definitely, I mean, I had my moments. I had my moments where I wanted to just, you know, go to sleep and say, did this ever really even happen? And I was constantly pulled back to simply living. Like, I can't have somebody else take my life from me. The thought of that was devastating to me. And so what I could do was find a life and create a life and live it the way that I chose based on my own values. Yeah.
Well, Sarah, again, I thank you so much, and I hope to have you on the show when you finish that book and
are
ready to
I'm going back to writing
coffee.
It right now. So thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for coming on and helping
of
us
course.
With a really tough situation, and you've made it very simple to understand. Thank you again.
Thank you, absolutely. I look forward to hearing from everybody. Have a great day.
All right. You heard it from
Thanks.
Her. If you want that next retreat, you got to get on it in the next 12
yes.
hours. Right, Sarah?
Yes, it is. You want to come in April, jump on. Seriously. Yeah, and here's the thing. I just want to say also to those of you that are struggling with this whole virus, I am, you know, my heart goes out to everybody. I'm having to self-quarantine my own niece, and it's just like who's flying in from Spain, and I'm in the middle of all of this too. We're all in this together. And here's the thing. I just want to remind everybody, please be kind. Just be kind to one another through this, because we will get through it together. so much better than apart. So that's just my little, my public service announcement. Lead with kindness.
Oh, I love that. You make it a good one, and let's just be kind all the way around. Take care,
yes,
Sarah.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, hon. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, you too. So that's an AppCats coach, and as you can see, she has an amazing job, but she's made it amazing, and you can do that too. If you are a person that wants to help partners, you know, write me, ask me how to do it. I'll send it to you. You can be a coach just like Sarah became. You never know. You might be doing TED Talks too. Writing books, do know, is that you'll be helping partners, and that's what AppSats is all about. We will talk to you next week for more Betrayal Recovery Radio, forgiveness, post-traumatic growth, and support. That's what we're all about here at AppSats. We'll see you next week. Take care.
For more information, go to AppSats.org, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, to find a professional in your area who is trained to help you after sexual betrayal.